This morning we continue in our series that we began a couple weeks ago, This Is Us, talking about our identity that we find in Christ described in the book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 4 today that Tom just read. And in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about building up the body that we were equipped to build. This series is connected with the television show, This Is Us, a little bit. Modeled after in some ways because there's present-day story and backstory that are connected together for who we are, connected to the backstory that Paul is telling in Ephesians, and connected to our own stories of life as we have experienced it. In the TV show, the Pearson family, particularly Jack Pearson, the patriarch of the family, played by Milo Ventimiglia. He plays a guy who wants to start a construction company, and he has those skills. He has worked in construction from the time he was a young man. He ends up in the office. He hates it. He doesn't want to be the office guy for somebody else. He wants to start his own construction company, but he also knows he needs to take care of his family, so he endures the office job for a while with this dream, this desire to start Big Three Construction, named for the three kids, the two biological twins and the adopted brother, the three kids that they have. So Big Three Construction, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The picture in the lower right, Big Three Homes, that is actually a hat that Milo Ventimiglia, it's not that. If it was Ventimiglia, then Paula's maiden name would not be DePuglia and roll off the tongue in that way. Ventimiglia, see. So Milo Ventimiglia had these hats made up for the entire crew that works on the show, as if, you know, that was a real construction hat. So he says this is the badge of honor for working on the show. You get one of these caps, Big Three Construction. That's the desire of the character of the show to start this construction company. Chances are, not many of us, will work in construction or own a construction company, but still, we need to build. Do you have the desire to build? Any builders? A few people build things. I know that we have a builder who would normally sit back here, Ken Ronaldo, builds things, but his wife had surgery 2 days ago, so he's not with us today, and we've had some other folks who've had tools in construction kind of experience. Don't have to build a house to be a builder, though. See, you can build all kinds of other things, right? Dennis Graham Sr., he was a big builder. He had to get rid of a bunch of tools before moving, right? Yeah. Did you get some? A few? A few? Okay, all right. Sometimes we have a lot of reasons why we build things. There's a lot of, you know, sometimes we build things because it's necessary. We have needs, and we can build something to meet that need. We have homes because we have a need for shelter, and so that's how it works. We have a need for things sometimes smaller than houses, and so sometimes I've built those things, so I've been a builder of some things. One thing that we needed when, about 2004, 5, somewhere in there, we had a two-bedroom house, and we had two kids. And the size of the two bedrooms, the bedrooms weren't very big, so in order to accommodate two kids in one room, we built a loft bed for Max so that, and you can kind of see it here, this is like the best picture I could find of the earliest days of the loft. So his bed is up above, and the desk and the toy box and some other things were underneath it. So the post that you see there is the corner and the ladder that went up. He still has that. It's in his house where he lives as a college student now. And they have put a bottom bunk on it, so his roommate now is, you know, on the bottom bunk of the same frame and everything else. So I'm feeling pretty good, you know. It's most of Gina's life, and it's still standing. So, success. When Max was real little, I made a stool because he couldn't get up to the sink to reach the faucet and whatever. I made a stool, and that's still in our house in use. That's almost 20 years, see. So I'm feeling okay about my construction skills. I wouldn't build a house, but I can build a few things. Made an office armoire at one point. to put the computer in. Coming soon, a loft for Gina's bed, because in Gina's room we have two fairly large dog crates and her bed and stuff. So if we move her bed over the dog crates, then there's more floor space for stuff. So we're going to build that pretty soon. We have some of the parts for it. Sometimes we don't build for a need, though. We build just because we want to make something. And in 2005, when Paula's dad and I were together in St. Louis, we started working on a car project because that's a thing that Max wanted to do. So there we were, making a car mostly out of wood frame and putting some wheelbarrow wheels on it to go down the road. And we had some steering mechanism started. We never got to the steering wheel part, but it was fun. It was a project. It was a fun thing to do. And in 2011, Gina had a couple of dolls, and so I made a bunk bed for the dolls. And there it is. And Paula sewed the pillows and the blankets and things so that the dolls would have not just a bed, but some comfort too. So it was a joint project as a nice Christmas gift. Anyway, what have you built? What things have you made or created? In the context of Ephesians 4, we're not talking about bunk beds or stools or project cars, but there's only one project. There's only one plan and one need. The building in Ephesians 4 isn't creating something from wood or from other materials. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about we as living stones. This is from Peter's writing. Talks about we as living stones are being built into the temple, the dwelling place for the Spirit. Here in Ephesians 4, it's about building the kingdom, that we build into the kingdom of God. Believers in Jesus are part of the body of Christ. Paul writes elsewhere in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." So the body of Christ is the church, is the people who are believers in Jesus, our body of Christ, and it gets built by the power of the Holy Spirit through the body at work together. That's the project. That's what we collectively are given to do. There's only one project and there's only one crew, one team building this all together. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Those were words that were read to us from Ephesians 4. There's one body made up of many individuals, but we're one. And there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Spirit, one God, one project. Sometimes I get too many projects going. So I get divided, I get torn between, oh, should I work in the landscaping? I got the irrigation thing, I've started that and it's not finished. Oh, I've got this other project in the garage. Oh, you know, I should work on that and try to get that done. Oh, you know what, we want to paint over here in the bedroom. Three and a half years ago, we found a color that we wanted, approximately. I'm not joking. So we want to paint, and I have to do these other tasks and things. And right, you ever get that way, where you've got so many things started and it feels like nothing gets done? The to-do list just keeps getting more and more lines added to it. And you know, now that I keep track of it mostly on my mobile device, there's not an end, there's not a bottom to the piece of paper anymore, right? It used to be like you fill out the entire, once the paper is filled, you realize I have too many things on this list. Now there's no bottom. Maybe I need, some kind of hard stop. 25 lines down, you know, put stop here, add no more, or something. Anyway, there's one project that we are working on, and one crew that's working. We are one team with one purpose. And just like I feel like my to-do list, this project is incomplete. What do I mean by that? How many have been to the Winchester Mystery House? I have not. but I know a few things about it. I know that it's incomplete. What I heard was when they found out that Sarah, that was her name, right? Sarah Winchester, when she had died, that then the cruise stopped, that there were nails that were not all the way into the wall, whenever that was like, we're done now, right? But up until that point, where it was like, you know, hammer, wait, she died? Okay, well, we're done, right? Up until that point, it was 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, around the clock, construction going on at that kind of ridiculous house, right? And there's a lot of like folklore surrounding it. Why did she continue to build, and why was it necessary for around the clock? And there's some stories that have built up around that. Nobody is exactly sure that, you know, what they tell you at the tour is exactly the right story, because she didn't leave a description of her motivation or anything. She just had these crews at work. And it's like 100 years ago, so now, you know, we can make stuff up, and that's okay. She's not around to argue with us. But there's some crazy stuff in there, right? There's like the door that goes outside on the second floor, and there's nothing. So be careful on your tour. Skylight in the floor, skylight overhead, covered by a roof. I mean, I've heard about all these things that are there. I don't have to go because I've read the descriptions. Sometime we'll go. It's one of those things, you know, it's on the list. We should go to Alcatraz sometime. We should go to the Winchester Mystery House sometime. I've not even been to Great America. Sometime. We'll do all these local attractions. But the Winchester Mystery House is an unfinished, ongoing project. Same way with the body of Christ. Why? Because the building is never done. There's more to do. There's more to build. There's more to encourage. There's more people to add. This project isn't done until not the death of Jesus, but the return of Jesus. When he comes back and says, okay, we're done. This is it. Right? So the project remains incomplete. The body of Christ continues to be built, and it happens through the body working because we are equipped for the work. He's given us the project. We understand that project, and we are now equipped for it. God has given us the skills and resources to do the work. We have tools in our toolbox. Do you realize this? You have gifts from God for his purpose. Gifts and skills and things that he's given to you in order that you can work in his kingdom. What does it look like? Well, grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift, verse 7 says. The grace that saves us is unlimited. That grace, we go back to chapter 2 of Ephesians, and we would see, by grace you're saved through faith. That's unlimited grace. That is poured out on us abundantly. But he's talking here about gifts and skills and abilities that we are given according to the measure of Christ. And each of us has unique skill set, unique gifts. Why? Because we have unique circles of influence, unique people with whom we connect. We are gifted with skills and resources to do the work. What are your gifts? Do you know? If you don't know, here's a way that you can find out. You can ask someone who knows you well. Someone who knows you well probably can identify skills and gifts that you might not immediately recognize. The way that maybe you've been a blessing to them, or the way that you've been a challenge in a positive way, right? The way that you've been an encourager, the way that you have spoken truth. Because we have these gifts and these abilities, and sometimes we're so used to them. It's just, you know, who we are and what we do, and we might not even recognize how our gifts and skills can be used in the kingdom, in the body of Christ, because it's just life. Now, it's not simply how our abilities and gifts and skills come together as the body of Christ in this place, right? That is part of it. Serving the church, volunteering in the ministries, things like that are part of it. But it's also how we build the body external to this property, not necessarily connected with our brothers and sisters here, but how we serve God through the gifts and skills he's given us in all the things that we do. In what you do at your place of work, in what you do at your school, in what you do among your neighborhood. It's what we've been talking about as a congregation for a while in terms of God made his dwelling among us. This is Greg Finke's favorite verse. And now, dwelling among us, how do we then build on that? By using the gifts and the abilities and the skills that he's given us. So he's provided those things. He's also provided the management team. This coming week, there's going to be a project. The parking lot is going to be resealed, and there will be lines on it again. So we're looking forward to that. Thought about leaving the lines off just to have random parking, just to see how it works out. Save a few dollars. No, the lines are good. The lines are really helpful, right? So we're going to do that. That's happening this week. There's been a guy, his name is Christian, and he has come here to talk to us about the project, to submit his proposal, to talk about, you know, down at the end where the garbage truck drives in and makes the turn, we'll excavate this deep and we'll put in this much new blacktop because it's just crushed down there. And then they'll seal the cracks, and then on Friday they're gonna seal the whole thing, put on the coat, two coats of the sealant. So Christian came and talked to us about that. He came and talked to us about the schedule that we're going to have. More about that when we make some announcements, just so that everybody knows. And he said when that's happening, especially on the Friday, that's going to happen, he will come and he will make sure that they're here, make sure that they have what they need, make sure that they get to work. He's the supervisor, right? This is what it says in verse 11. And he, being Christ, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. So that's a management team with a purpose. Verse 12, read on if you're following along. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. That's our key verse for today. To equip the saints for the work of ministry. Who are the saints? Any saints in the room? No, Kevin, it's not pointed at somebody else. Raise your hand here, okay? Are you baptized? Do you believe in Jesus? Are you a saint? Okay, how many saints in the room? Okay, we should all, yeah, this is all of us. See, all of us through faith in Christ are saints of God. So we are the saints. We are equipped for the ministry, all of us. So the management team that he gives, this fivefold office, apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher, all those are words that are connected in some respect to the office that I hold. So I am equipped to equip. I am given the task to encourage and to help make sure that body of Christ, we understand that the work is all of ours to do, right? The call into ministry isn't so these are not spectator, what do they call that? Bleachers. These aren't bleachers. This isn't a time where observation happens to what the work of ministry looks like. This is the locker room. This is the pep talk. I have the role of coach, okay? This is how it works. We're equipping, so to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. So, do you know the plan? Do you understand the scope of the work? What does it look like? We're building the body of Christ. So, how does it happen? People hear the word of God, and the Spirit works. And so, new additions are being put on this building. We're adding on. That's one part of the work that we do, is we add on as new people hear the word of God through what we say, through how we live, through what we share. And then there's other work that happens. Believers build one another up. So sometimes that's restoration work. Sometimes that's interior work. We work among the body of Christ to build up one another. So we add on, but we also work inside. More about that next week as we talk about more interior kind of work. Believers build one another up. Do you understand your skill set and your part to play? Some people help with the foundation, building on that foundation. We'll talk a bit about the foundation and what that looks like. Those are the teachers, Bible study leaders, life group, small group leaders. Others work on framing, make sure that things are aligned well. Those who work in the infrastructure of the ministry, those are, you know, probably elders are working on framing, make sure that we're lined up. Things are building on the foundation, make sure we're set on the foundation, make sure we're working straight. Some work on finishing. Those are encouragers. Those are people who are gifted with hospitality. Those who are really good at fellowship, connecting with people, supporting one another. Some work on things that are like, you know how you have electricians and plumbers and they come in while the project's going on? Most of their work is hidden, right? We don't have exposed pipes or wires, hopefully, in our homes. So most of the work that the plumber and the electrician do, that work gets hidden. And as long as it works, we're happy and grateful. So there are people whose work isn't obvious. There's people who are working, and it's kind of behind the scenes. Still important work that's being done. Those are people who are the quiet worker, the one who doesn't want to be up front, who are working more support kind of things, holding up the prophet's hands, working on ways that aren't necessarily public. And the purpose, the plan, the scope is in order to build up the body of Christ. And how do we do that? First and foremost, build on the firm foundation. We build on that firm foundation. What's the foundation? What's the foundation on which we build, on which we live? It's Jesus. It's His Word. Dig down to that solid rock and build up from there. Jesus tells a parable of a wise and foolish builder. Because I've experienced Vacation Bible School so many times, now I have a VBS song that's like bouncing around in the head. Wise man built his house upon a rock. You know that one? Some of us know that one. There's actions and everything. Yeah. Wise man built his house on the rock. Foolish man built his house on the sand. The storm comes, the waves, the rain comes down and the storm comes up. And the house on the sand goes splat. But the house on the rock stands firm. Maybe you know the parable. What's the rock? He who hears my word and puts it into practice is building on the rock. So there's hearing the word. Important, really critical that we hear the word. Equally as important that we put it into practice. It's not just getting in the ear, it's getting in the heart, and it's coming out through the life, through how we live. We hear the word of God, we put it into practice. That's our foundation. We build on that foundation. Verse 14 touches on why. Similar to the foolish builder, in some respect. And he says this, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. We build on a solid foundation. What happens? The wind blows, we're on the solid rock. We're on that foundation. If we build elsewhere, wind blows, and maybe we get carried away by the wind. Right? So it's important to have the foundation set and established and understood. It's Jesus and the word that he has given us. Building on that foundation, we grow into being more like Jesus. The building trades, a lot of like carpenter, electrician, plumber, they have a way that you learn how to do it. First, you become an apprentice. Familiar? Anyone ever worked as an apprentice? A couple, one, two. An apprentice does a couple of things. The purpose of the apprentice is to become the plumber, the carpenter, the electrician, right? But how do they start? They start by, well, doing whatever the plumber, carpenter, electrician says, right? So go get the tools out of the truck. Carry the heavy stuff. Probably a lot of the first days are kind of grunt work, right? But then they have the opportunity to observe. How does the carpenter do the work? How is it measure twice, cut once, right? I heard that a long time ago. That sticks. So observe the work being done and then begin to do it. See? Become more and more like the carpenter till one day there's no difference between the apprentice and the master. Same thing with our discipleship. We are apprentices of Jesus. That's what discipleship really is. We observe what Jesus does, what he says, what he teaches, and then we start to emulate that. So we do it the way he did it. We follow what he tells us to do. We put it into practice, right? And we become more and more like him. Here's what Paul wrote. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. You want to be a carpenter? Follow a carpenter. Let's all follow a carpenter's son together. As apprentices of Jesus. And learn how to build. And here's how it works. Love builds this body. Verse 16 said this, when each part is working properly, it makes the whole body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Knowledge puffs up, love builds up. Paul wrote that in 1 Corinthians 2. Love builds up, and our reading started with words that describe what love looks like. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Walk this way. With the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, with the love of Christ filling and overflowing. That's what it looks like to be the body and to build the body. That's our calling. To love one another, to love God, love our neighbors. That's how it works. This is us. Amen.